You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that just recently swept the awards and has been greenlit for a fifth, sixth, and seventh season. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's get into our award-winning opening segment, Check It Out.
Check it out!
Award-winning.
Have you guys played the game Among Us?
I've been seeing a lot of people playing Among Us. I haven't had a chance to sit down with it, though.
It looks like a werewolf situation.
Yeah, it's like a werewolf Town of Salem kind of thing, except there's a little bit of actual gameplay to it.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, when you're not the imposter, you have to run around doing tasks and stuff to fill up this bar.
Okay, so backtrack for just a second. What is the main premise of the game?
So it's a social deduction game where one of the players, or more, depending on who made the room or whatever, is an imposter, and you have to...
And you're like spacemen on a spaceship, right?
A spaceship, a sky platform, or some kind of mining planet.
Okay, but you're tiny spacemen and someone's an imposter.
Yes, yes, yes.
Gotcha, okay.
And basically, the imposter's job is to kill everyone to win.
Okay.
And the crewmate's job is to fill up the task bar. So you're running around, like, fixing wiring and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the imposter can sabotage things, like cause a reactor meltdown. And you have to run around and deactivate the reactor or something.
Okay, so if you're the imposter, you're going around sabotaging things while also trying to not be found out as being the imposter.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
And when you're the imposter, you have a list of fake tasks,
mm-hmm.
so you can run around and look like you're doing something.
Okay.
But, you know, there's all kinds of things, like there's a security room, and you can, like, watch security cameras, and if somebody's doing that, you might get caught killing somebody or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple of ways you can call a meeting to discuss and vote. So there's a button in the main room or whatever, and if somebody hits it, it calls an emergency meeting. Or if somebody's running around and finds a dead body, you can report the dead body.
Mm-hmm.
And then the class trial begins.
Pretty much.
Staying pretty off, much. But...
And that's awesome. So this is... This is played with other humans. It's not a one-player game. Yeah. That's right. Okay.
No.
All right. What systems can you play this on? Where can you find this thing?
PC or mobile.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's mobile.
Yeah,
really?
No, there was a mobile version.
Interesting.
Oh yeah, the mobile version's free.
Even better.
But I will say, the servers are just awful.
Yeah, with the amount of people that have been playing this game, I've been seeing a lot of, like, YouTube, or not YouTube, but a lot of Twitch streamers jumping on the Among Us bandwagon. I imagine it's, if one Twitch streamer is 100 other non-Twitch regular players, then I can imagine that the servers are just getting completely inundated at this point.
They're probably doing the best they can with the servers, I'm assuming.
This is like a Fall Guys situation, a little bit.
Yeah, this is like a small group. I don't think they expected the game to be as big as it is.
Sure.
And the thing is, I didn't even know about it until I saw like a meme about it.
Yeah, I've started seeing memes. I've started seeing people do cosplay of it already.
I have not seen that.
Yeah, there's a few out there.
Because the guys more or less look like the Fall Guys beans.
They just have spaceman helmets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And jetpacks, kind of.
Yeah, they got, like, little backpacks. They're, like, colored blobs with, like, a visor face.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get, like, you can change your color, and you can wear, like, a fancy hat, and there's, like, a little thing like that.
Oh, nice. So how many times have you been the imposter, and have you been found out?
I am found out every time.
Oh.
I am a terrible imposter. I played one night, and like this one guy, he was the imposter, and he was so good at like talking circles and like throwing blame on other people. Like, like this dude must be like a legit lawyer or something.
This game sounds like a social anxiety nightmare to me. I have no interest in this at all.
Yeah,
also,
or like
a very bad liar.
That's the thing. It's not face to face, so
that's true.
Not quite like werewolf. You know, just sometimes it just like you'll be like running around, and then someone will start following you around the map or whatever, and it starts making you nervous. Like at one point, I had this guy like just stalking me everywhere I was going, and I'm like, So I ran back to the room and I hit the emergency meeting button. I'm like, Pink is following me, and he won't stop.
We need to have a house meeting about this. Also, they ate all my yogurt in the fridge.
Well, that's awesome. It sounds like a really great game. So, I might, knowing that it's free on mobile, I might have to jump on this one.
It'd be a lot more fun if the servers weren't so bad. Because half the time I click on something, it either says I logged out, or the room I picked was full. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Give them another week or two, and they'll probably have it sorted out to where it's a little more stable. That would be my guess.
Or it'll stop being the hot item thing. Scene.
Yeah.
I actually heard today that they were going to do a sequel, but since that one's so hot right now, they're just going to fix up the first one. They canceled the sequel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Too, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
You hear that, Blizzard? You should have done that instead of Overwatch 2. It's a lot of fun. I played on it was Friday night or something like that. But it was like I was on Discord with a bunch of my LARP friends.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I could see it being a lot of fun with people that you know, but I would be terrified to play it with Steam randos.
Just random match into somewhere and have someone follow you around.
Yeah, or just like, I don't know, say a bunch of terrible things because it's some Steam rando.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I mean, there is a profanity filter for the text.
Mm.
Oh, you're not required to use voice chat?
No.
Oh, I figured you would be. Oh, that might be better then.
Yeah, but the type, especially on the mobile, is awful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's switch gears to another check-em. I can do one. I played a little bit of the Mario 3D All-Stars.
I played a lot of bit of it.
Yeah.
I have opinions.
Well, this is the perfect place to get into them. I'll tell you my opinions. I wish they would have done more with it because it's just kind of... It's all right.
Yeah.
It's just kind of there.
That's basically, that's how I feel. Like,
I wish they would have taken less time putting soundtracks that turn your Switch into a gigantic MP3 player that no one is going to use.
That only plays Mario music.
Yeah.
Nobody asked for that.
Yeah. Nobody's going to do that. If it had Bluetooth headphone technology, someone might use it every once in a while. It's not probably the best way to go about handling your music, but it could be possible.
Just put your stuff on Spotify like other game companies do.
Yeah. But if they would have spent a little less time on that and a little more time kind of cleaning up some of their older games, I would be a little more enthused about it. As of right now, I'll play through them when I get the chance, but it's not a hot ticket kind of got to blow through it right now kind of thing.
Yeah, the thing that gets me is like, that's not the definitive version of these games.
No, it's not.
Like, the controls in Sunshine are fine. They're passable.
Mm-hmm.
But you lose something without that analog control for the strength of the water spray.
So yeah.
It's not the best version of that game you could play. The controls in Galaxy are gross.
Oh, yeah, using the finger, when you're playing on handheld mode.
Yeah, you have to use the touch screen instead of the pointer, like with the Wiimote, and it's bad. It's awful.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's better if you play it on the TV and use the Joy-Con as the pointer. It's probably a lot more like the original, I guess.
I'm sure it's a little more like the original, but I don't like... I mean, I like playing the games on the TV, but I don't like doing like the dual Joy-Con thing. I like having the controller if I'm playing on the TV, because that was the problem I ran into with Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, where you had to throw it.
Oh yeah.
Physically throw it instead of just clicking a button. That. Yeah, yeah. And the Mario 64, they could have done so much more to clean up. They could have made it widescreen. They could have, or at the very least, put a border around the 4x3 frame instead of just having it be dead black space. They could have cleaned up the textures a little bit, although I know some people would have complained that it wasn't authentic to the original. They could have done something to fix the camera a little bit, because that camera is the real villain of Mario 64.
And it always was.
Yeah.
It's just when you do not a remaster, because this is not a remaster.
No.
But when you do like a reissue of this on a newer system, it should be the definitive version of that game. But they're not better. They're not even as good as fun on the original.
When Mario system. When Nintendo put out the original All-Star Pack for the Super Nintendo, they redid the graphics on all of those games that they included, Mario 1, 2, 3, and Lost Levels. They redid the whole sprite package. And I mean, granted, it's much easier to do that on a 2D game on a Super Nintendo, going from Nintendo to Super Nintendo, than it would be for a 3D game. But I don't know, clean up a couple of those glossy JPEGs here and there. And
Or like add something.
Something, anything.
Give me a concept art gallery.
Yeah.
If anything.
Yeah.
It's bad when you can get 3 Crash Bandicoot games that are remastered to look gorgeous for not even full price, for $40.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Mario games are leaps and bounds better than Crash Bandicoot, but the value proposition there is ridiculous. Like, they could have at least, you know, tried.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what made me the most... Well, okay. This is the only thing that actually actively made me mad about this game. When they announced it on that Mario Direct, whatever, they talked about how, oh yeah, if you do, you know, for Mario's 35th anniversary, we're going to have all of these cool games and things that you're going to do on our website and things. If you do all these games and pre-order the Mario Pack, you'll get a set of pins.
Yeah, they
for free.
They ran out of the pens.
They ran out of pens in 2 minutes. So what's the point? That made me mad.
Yeah, you woke me up in the middle of the night, like, they ran out of the pens. I'm so mad. Like, he literally did.
This is kind of a letdown. Like, it's not a bad package. It's passable.
No, I mean it's perfectly passable. It would be like if they were to put. Like, they're eventually going to put Ocarina on top of Time on the Switch. It's going to happen, right? You know.
I mean,
you know it. I know it.
Zelda's 30.
Zorak know it. Brack know it. But when they do that, they should really... I would almost rather they put the 3DS version remake onto it, because that is the definitive edition. That was cleaned up. That was...
Yeah.
Kind of remastered a little bit.
If somebody asked me what version of Ocarina should I play, I would say the 3DS one is your best bet.
And absolutely the 3DS version of Majora's Mask, because that was gorgeous what they did with that.
That could be a controversial opinion.
Really?
Some people aren't happy with that Majora's Mask remake for some reason.
Oh, that's weird.
I forget why. I think they changed some stuff that... probably made it easier. Although this is probably what it is.
Probably, because Majora's Mask, some of the bits were, like, very different. I remember the ghost hunting thing, where they're abducting cows. I remember that being incredibly difficult.
It can be a tedious game.
Too. Yeah, and the was it the Kefka? The Kefka side quest?
I don't remember.
The grown man that was turned into a child, and you have to go through, like, all 3 days, basically babysitting, because he... goes and does a thing and does 5 other things.
And you got to be at the right place at the right time.
At the exact right time all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
And they have that notebook in the 3DS one that keeps track of where everybody is.
Oh, see, that's wonderful. That would be the only...
That Final Fantasy character?
Kefka was a Final Fantasy villain, but I can't remember what the guy's name. It starts with a K and it ends with an A, so that's... what my brain defaults to.
I don't know. Like, I kind of want... I want to, like, a Zelda Collector's Edition or whatever.
Oh, sure. I would be cool with that. I would be cool with them putting all of the originals on Switch. You can already play 1, 2... You can already play 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Or 1, 2, and...
Link to
the Past, which is 3, I guess. You can already play those, and that's cool.
And Link's Awakening, if you play the remake, which is
good. And that's very good. Yes, yes, yes.
That was very good.
But they'll probably... I mean, Zelda's 35th anniversary is next year, so they'll probably do like they did with Mario.
That's when they'll announce Breath of the Wild 2, or they'll release or more information on Breath of the Wild 2. I'm actually getting a little excited for the Calamity of whatever. Age of Calamity. The halfway step one, the prequel.
Age of Calamity.
Age of Calamity,
Hyrule Warriors
yeah.
2, Age of Calamity.
Yeah, I'm kind of into that, yeah.
I mean, Spaceballs, the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a new game that is Nintendo-related, so that's good, because you don't get those anymore, apparently.
I guess not, unless you like Kirby Fighters.
Pikmin isn't new. That's what
Pikmin isn't new. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a remake of an old game.
Arms?
Launch game.
Yeah. I'm talking about, like, if they made a new game, like, even if it was a new Mario game, that'd be nice. Just a new game.
Yeah.
Oh, remaster. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that's not a remaster or a Wii U game that they're re-releasing on the Switch. Although, at least Mario 3D World does have new levels, so...
Yeah, that's good, at least.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't they put, like, some new content in Mario 64? I watched a video that said they originally had planned, like, 30-some levels, and then they narrowed it down to 13.
Oh, Luigi's in there!
And yeah, they put Luigi... There's all kinds of stuff they added in the DS remake of
Mario. I was
going to
say, they should have put the DS version where you had all four, you can switch between the four characters.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
And then you could play it with an analog stick, because the DS didn't have an analog stick, and that really hurt that game.
Yeah.
So why not remaster that and have it work correctly?
and let me play as my boy Wario.
Yeah. That's like the only time Wario has appeared in a like mainline Mario game.
With the exception of the Mario Land 2, where he was the villain.
Well, no, that was by a different R&D, a different R&D
team. Oh, that's
team
right. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was by the Game Boy team.
That's right.
Miyamoto wasn't directly involved. He doesn't seem to like characters that he didn't create himself. So stuff like Waluigi and Wario get sidelined.
Well, nobody likes Waluigi. I mean, I like Waluigi. Everyone likes Waluigi, but no one of importance at Nintendo likes Waluigi.
Oh.
I don't know. I've just been really, really kind of disappointed with Nintendo's output lately. It's just not there.
Honestly, what I think is happening, I think Nintendo is developing a Switch Pro edition, and they're kind of holding back as many of their first party games as they can for the Switch Pro edition.
That could
run 4K and has longer battery life and a couple of little other quality of life adjustments, Bluetooth headset connectivity, because that's something it sorely needs. I have a feeling that's why we're not seeing a bunch of first party Nintendo stuff. They're in kind of a holding pattern.
And being really lazy.
And COVID. I think COVID has a lot to do with
it. COVID
has
also done a lot of... Yeah. COVID has hurt Nintendo a lot more than I think we kind of realize. Yeah.
I think a new Switch would be a good idea, being that it's about console generation Switch time.
Mm.
And the Switch is going to start looking worse and worse over time. That gap between the Switch quality and console quality is just going to get rougher and rougher as time goes on.
It is. And I would say by this time next year, we're going to be talking about... I mean, they will be the last ones into this next generation of consoles, but I think this time next year, we'll be talking about we'll either have a release date, or we'll be talking about how we just got ours.
Our GameCube 2s. That's the big curveball. They're going to release a new GameCube.
The Game Rhombus.
The NES 2. Wii 64. Nintendo Wii Cube 64. Super Nintendo Wii Cube 64.
They'll call it the Revolution Dolphin.
Advance.
Advance, yes. The No, knowing Nintendo, they'll call it the new Nintendo Switch. To make things extra confusing.
No, they'll just call it the Famicom and just release it in America.
Yeah. They couldn't come up with a more confusing naming scheme than Xbox did.
Oh boy. Oh boy, did they.
The Whoa. Xbox Series X, Series S, X series.
Mm-hmm.
We've been getting really good use out of our Shudder subscription.
Okay, yeah.
Because they've been doing the 61 days of Halloween. They started Halloween in September.
Started a little early. Okay, right on.
Like you should. I mean, why not?
Hey, this year, no rules, just right.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
And they suggest a movie to watch every day, which is good when you're like us and you can't make a decision to save your life. And you just have Shudder to tell you, well, hey, maybe try Fade to Black.
Okay, how was Fade to Black?
It was actually very good. It's like, was it an early 80s movie?
I would assume.
I think it was like an early 80s movie about a kid who's obsessed with movies and his overbearing aunt that's also his mother.
Okay.
And he just, like, ends up killing people.
It's so weird, because he, like, acts out these really, like, old movie people.
Yeah, he's obsessed with movies, and he starts, constantly making references to movies that James Cagney movies.
Oh, and, like, really old movies. Interesting, okay, yeah.
And he changes his name to a character from, was it White Heat, I think, in the movie.
Oh, jeez.
And he does a really killer Dracula cosplay at one point. It ends up to a point where toward the end he's killing people but dressing up as old movie characters when he does it.
Oh, wow. That's kind of wild. Yeah, that sounds kind of wild.
I think you would like it.
Yeah, it sounds kind of interesting. Yeah.
And it has the same narrative arc as Joker, more or less.
Oh, really?
You're like three-fourths through, like, this is Joker.
It's Joker if he was obsessed with old movies instead of Robert De Niro talk show.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That's who it was in Joker, right?
Yeah, Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Robert De Niro, have you heard about the new movie that he's going to be in?
The War with Grandpa?
The War with Grandpa?
We were just listening to that.
Oh, it's the entire episode. It's the entire episode of my Bim Bam.
They don't do any questions.
They do zero questions the entire episode. The podcast, My Brother and Me, the advice show podcast, did an entire episode where that was only their intro where they talked about the upcoming Robert De Niro movie, The War with Grandpa.
And it looks real bad.
It looks really bad.
I watched the trailer. It was real bad.
And it looks really, really bad. Yeah. But no, they spend 45 solid minutes talking about The War with Grandpa.
A movie about a grandpa who moves in with his son's family and takes the kid's room. So the kid is mad and they have a war.
They have some kind of war and Jane Seymour's there.
It looks so bad.
It looks very, very, very bad.
And the studios are counting on, like, there's no other movies you can see, so maybe you'll go see War with Grandpa?
Oh, man. Are they...
Get your kids out of the house.
Yeah. Oh,
there's no movies out, and they'll still dump that one in January. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news. Hey, we're back. That was Let's Dance by David Bowie.
Yeah, I was thinking about Magic Dance from Labyrinth, but then that's not like a full-length song, so we couldn't play that. So, you know, Let's Dance is pretty close.
It's close enough. It's close enough. Hey, do you know what is like Labyrinth?
But not quite, but close enough?
The Dark Crystal. So, yeah, so let's get into a little bit of our news. news. Yeah, so to start things off, we're going to talk a little bit about the Netflix series Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance and how it couldn't quite resist the axe. It got cut after one season, which is a little hasty for Netflix, honestly.
They usually do at least two before they abruptly cancel a show.
Yeah, whether it's good or not, it's usually two seasons. And that's a kind of a shame because Dark Crystal won a lot of awards.
Yeah, it sweeped the Emmys, I'm told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't watched a ton of it. I've seen a couple clips here and there, but it looked really good, and it looked of high quality, of the Jim Henson Company quality that we come to know and love.
It was one of those where, like, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to watch the movie, and then I'm going to get into this. And then I forgot, and then and now it's dead.
Well, I mean, you can always go back.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard nothing but good things about it. It's probably very expensive.
That's probably my guess as well, that it's a little expensive to do. Yeah.
But Netflix has this thing it does where it cancels a show after two seasons because they don't need the people who have already subscribed. They need to convince new people to subscribe with exciting new content.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how it goes. It's down to the algorithm, watching what you're watching. Like,
add new thing, doesn't matter if people still like old thing.
We already have your credit card number, and you're not going to remember to unsubscribe.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's kind of it. But no, this is kind of a bummer. Like I said, it's not going to go anywhere. And I mean, if the Walt Disney Company owns the Henson stuff now, so it might end up over on Disney Plus, maybe. I don't know.
Do they own Dark Crystal, though? I know they own the Muppets.
Jim Henson, if they bought, you know, that's a good question. If they bought the Henson Company, they own Dark Crystal, because Jim Henson bought that movie back from his the people who originally funded it, like Lock, Stock, and Barrel, because they wanted to axe it and make a bunch of changes. So if Disney just bought the Muppets, then they just have the Muppets. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they just own the Muppets.
Oh, interesting. Well, then
the Jim Henson Company owns the.
Okay, so I thought the Jim Henson Company merged with Disney in some amorphous blob type situation.
The Henson Company only sold the rights to the Muppets and the Bear and the Big Blue House character.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, there we go. I learned something today.
The Jim Henson Company was sold to a German media company, EMTV and Merchandising.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a long time. They lost the Muppets for a short time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they got them back and then they ended up selling them to Disney. But yeah, that is the thing that happened.
That was back in 2000.
Was that around the time that they made Muppets from Space?
No, it was before then.
Okay.
That was before 2000, I feel like.
Okay. Because, you know, something else I learned this week. The guy who directed Muppets from Space also directed The War with Grandpa.
Oh, no.
I stand by that Muppets from Space is not bad.
It's not as bad. It's probably one of the lesser Muppet movies, but it's not bad. It's not the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, the Muppets. Wizard of Oz. Yeah, that
was pretty rough. That was not a very good one. But yeah, it's not upper echelon, but it's certainly not bottom of the barrel. Okay, well, let's go ahead and move on to our next topic here.
Speaking of Muppets,
yeah,
you guys watch any of the new Muppets show that's on Disney Plus?
No, I haven't had a chance to. Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, cool.
It's not, you know, it's not the best Muppet stuff, but it's not bottom of the barrel.
Okay. Right on.
You were laughing pretty hard at that Seth Rogen interview.
Oh, yeah. There's the interview they do with Fozzie Bear and Seth Rogen. And there's, like, you know those creepy baby Muppets that they have?
Oh, yeah.
That show up a lot? Those babies start wandering in and just causing chaos while Fozzie's trying to interview Seth Rogen.
That sounds like a Space Ghost bit.
It kind of is. It's like, one baby comes in carrying a bottle of poison. It's like, what does he have? What is that? Is that poison? Take that away from him.
Oh, that's
great.
And
the one baby just keeps saying Seth Rogen's name. He keeps going, Rogen. Rogen.
Yeah, no, that's just sounds like a Space Ghost bit.
Seth Rogen's like, this baby seems really, really seems to know me and my work, and that can't be good.
Oh, that's great. No, now is it? They're like, it's like short form, isn't it? It's not.
It's full length episodes. Full length episodes. But they're okay. In little sketches that they do. There's like a cooking show sketch with the Swedish Chef.
Oh, of course, yeah.
There's a lifestyle show with Miss Piggy that is basically a Zoom call with Linda Cardellini. Like, and a bit with Taye Diggs that you can tell they filmed it all in one day and then did it in chunks.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, interesting. But no, I will have to I'll have to check that out. When I had originally heard that they were going to redo it, and I thought it was just going to be, oh, here's a 5-minute little thing or something. I was like, eh, maybe not. But
it's a nice, like, light show if you would want something happy.
Cool.
There's a great bit they do where it's Pepe the King Prawn hosting a game show with Scooter, and he just makes the whole thing up as he goes.
Oh, that's great.
And Scooter's trying to, like, control it in any aspect and, like, have it be a functioning game show, and, like, Pepe's just making stuff up, like, oh, now what's, like, one of the things he makes?
I made them put on makeup.
Yeah, he's like, now we're gonna put on makeup and see who does that better, and, like,
wow. You know, I don't know, I was one of the few that kind of liked the Muppets Office show that they did on ABC.
I love that show.
It was really good. I wish it could have really gone another couple of seasons if they had had any faith in the project.
I thought
it was really.
I think it started rough, but it got consistently better.
It did,
to the point where it was a really good show.
Well,
when they canceled it.
Well, like any other Office clone, it got better the further away it got from being an Office clone.
Yeah.
Because Parks and Rec started as an Office clone, and then it got good when it started being its own thing. And yeah, when they were allowed to be more Muppet and less The Office. Yeah. No.
Yeah, when they were doing, you know, veterinary hospital bits in the while Piggy's in the hospital and a bed over, they're doing veterinary hospital bits. Like, that's funny.
That's funny. Yeah, that's really funny. So, all right. Well, hey, let's move on to our next thing. We've been talking about Marvel,
we'll talk
Disney
about the
stuff.
Muppets all day. If you don't stop.
Oh, I would. Yeah. Well, we'll have to get a Muppets light in here.
Yeah.
Press that like the Power Ranger button. But let's keep talking about some Marvel and Disney-related stuff. One good, one bad. The good, they released a trailer for WandaVision, the upcoming miniseries for Disney+, featuring, among other characters, The Vision and Scarlet Witch, and it looks pretty great.
It looks wild.
It looks wild. It looks like they're going to be kind of half spoofing, half like reality jumping into like a 50s, like various styles of sitcom. There were some shots where it looks like the Dick Van Dyke Show or like an old Bewitched, black and white Bewitched episode. And then it jumps forward into what is clearly a Roseanne pastiche.
Yeah. You know, I learned the other day that Bewitched was so popular in Japan, there is a Japanese remake.
Really?
Bewitched.
No way. That sounds that is awesome.
I need to look it up and find actual like video of it, but I some Crunchyroll video about the origin of magical girls leads back to Bewitched.
To Bewitched. Interesting.
And its massive popularity in Japan.
Oh, that's interesting. I had no idea. But this trailer for WandaVision looked really good. They tease lightly at characters. The character Monica Rambeau, who we saw as a little girl in Captain Marvel. She's Captain Marvel's best friend's daughter. She is, and that movie took place in like the early to mid 90s, or late 90s, I guess. Late 90s.
Yeah, it was late 90s.
Yeah, but it, you know, flash forward to today, she's a grown adult, and it looks like she's going to be doing some stuff. She's a hero in the comics as well. She was another version of Captain Marvel. She changed her name to Photon. It's a whole thing. Comics are weird. The other character that shows up is played by Catherine Hahn, who is a really funny actress. She's shown up in a lot of the Adam McKay type movies. I know her probably best from Step Brothers. She was Will Ferrell's brother's wife, who has a lot of hilarious scenes that I cannot talk about on the radio. But she pops up, and it is kind of lightly hinted that she is also a longstanding character from the Marvel Comics, a character named Agatha Harkness, who was a full-blown witch, like magic user on the level of Doctor Strange, who helped train Scarlet Witch in her budding actual magical abilities.
More magic users, please.
Yeah, more magic users, more weirdness. I'm all for it.
Yeah, it looks very good. And, you know, I am honestly pretty thirsty for some Marvel content, and they've been teasing these TV shows, these Disney Plus shows, for, like, years.
They have. Yeah.
Since Disney Plus was a twinkle in Bob Iger's eye. Like, I can't believe we're getting a second season of Mandalorian before we're getting this. They still don't have a date on WandaVision
they
either.
Don't.
It just says coming soon.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling that is partially due to our next bit of news with the Marvel side of things. Marvel Studios delayed all of their movies into deep into 2021. So Black Widow, not until May 2021, as along with Shang-Chi and Ant-Man 3 and
Black Panther Black 2 that's Panther still on 2, the slate, which that, is interesting.
That one's a weird one. That one's interesting. I don't know what they're going to do with that. I hope they do the right thing and not the wrong thing. But yeah, so this is the first... 2020 is the first year since 2009 that we did not get a Marvel movie. 11 years.
Wow.
Let that sink in. That's wild. God. Yeah.
So Iron Man 2 will continue to be the best Black Widow movie.
For now. That is kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, the Black Widow movie should have came out after Iron Man 2, to be honest.
I agree. But yeah, I agree.
That was the best use of the character, I feel like. In the Avengers movies, she's cool, but... they don't ever give her anything to do.
Yeah, but we know we're going to get it sooner rather than later, and I like the idea that they are waiting until theaters open up instead of charging people $30 to see it at home for a little while, which tells me the Mulan experiment may have backfired a tiny bit.
It probably... It probably would have went better if they wouldn't have charged so much.
30 was too much. 20 would have been fine.
Yeah.
30 is too much.
They were really swinging for the fences on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to test it with Mulan, which is probably one of the better live action adaptations of their animated features, but it's still it's by default not going to be better than the animated version.
Yeah. And it's not. Yeah,
and it's not. No.
I feel like of all the things they could have done, Mulan was probably one of easiest ones to make a live action film.
And it'll make them the most money in China, which is where the real money is.
Yeah.
I think that is the entire reason they made it a live action Mulan, to be honest. They're just chasing that China dollar.
You know, there's a part of me that's not cynical and is not world weary that would want to argue with you, but you're probably right. Now, okay, question. Were there any ghosts in Mulan?
No.
Okay, well then, yeah, you're absolutely right then. Then it was 100% made for the Chinese market.
And there was ghosts in the original, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her spirit, her grandparents' spirits showed up.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, no ghosts.
Yep. Nope.
The ancestors were the ones that were supposed to send Mushu.
Right. The Chinese government. Historically afraid of ghosts.
And skeletons. There is no ghosts or skeletons.
There you go. Well, that answers that then.
Just a bird witch.
Okay, so we have one more non-game news item that we want to touch on very briefly before we get into kind of the big meat and potatoes of the show. So we've talked about the James Gunn Suicide Squad movie a couple of times on the show. How
we've specifically talked about this character.
John Cena and his stupid toilet bowl hat. So this kind of came out of nowhere. They announced that there's going to be an eight episode miniseries starring John Cena as the Peacemaker, DC Comics The Peacemaker, for HBO Max in preparation for Suicide Squad.
Sure.
This is crazy. Also, I kind of love the ad for it has some expletives.
But it is
it's just, very good.
It's a comic book drawing of Peacemaker's face.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it just says,
oh no.
Oh yeah, oh no.
It's Peacemaker. It's Peacemaker,
except the oh no is a bad swear word.
It's a bad Beep. Word.
And yeah. And I don't want my mouth washed out with soap.
But yeah. Yeah, but no, this is interesting. It's I'm curious to see what they do in his miniseries, if it's set before Suicide Squad or after, what other kind of characters they pull into it. Because Peacemaker, I'm going to get deep DC Comics here for a second. Peacemaker was originally not part of the DC Comics universe. He was originally created from a company called Charlton Comics.
Oh, that's where the Watchmen
kind of did. Yeah. Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So DC absorbed Charlton Comics in the 80s, I think, 70s or 80s. But along with Peacemaker, which they didn't really do much with, they got the characters Captain Atom, the Blue Beetle, the Question, and there were a couple others, but
they were almost the main characters of Watchmen.
They were almost, yeah. They were originally slated to be the main characters of Watchmen, but then at the last minute, DC asked Alan Moore to come up with original characters. So you can, he basically just kind of scribbled some lines over top of, some metaphorical lines over top of the Charlton Comics characters, and Peacemaker became the comedian, and the Question became Rorschach.
He literally drew circles on top of the Question's face.
Pretty much, yeah. So it would be interesting to see if James Gunn takes the Charlton Comics characters and does like a satirical take on Watchmen using those characters.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
And just kind of poke fun at it.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Other DC Comics news that I forgot to put on the board, they figured out what they're doing with DC Universe.
It's going to be comics.
Yeah, it's for comics now, not shows.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's better. It's a better idea than the shows, to be honest, because that's what HBO Max is for.
Pretty much, yeah.
And they also picked up Harley Quinn for a third season like we said they wouldn't do.
Yeah. That's pretty exciting.
I love that they keep proving me wrong on this one. Please continue to do so. It's a very good show.
Oh, another DC show movie thing. I saw that Zack Snyder is reportedly going to do about $70 million worth of reshoots for the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League.
That's a lot of money to flush down the toilet.
That's an awful lot of money to spend on a movie that was originally reported to have all of its extra scenes already shot and just needed touched up.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Snyder cut didn't exist and it was all just a big ploy.
You don't say. It's not worth it. Why would you spend $70 million on a bad movie?
To make it a bad miniseries.
Yeah. To make it a worse miniseries.
Yeah.
Look, I saw Justice League, and the last thing I wanted to do was spend more time in that world.
I am willing to let them prove me wrong. I will watch it. I will watch the Snyder Cut when it's released.
I won't promise I'll watch all of it, but I will make an attempt.
That's all right. I will, you know, for all of you in this room and all of you at home, I will sit through it. For you.
I mean, it's only fair to give it a chance, but
yeah,
if it becomes torture, I'm not going to do that to myself.
This kind of breaks my rule because you can't, I've always said that you can't adequately critique and make and lambast a movie until you've actually watched it. But I've already seen this one.
Yeah.
So I'm allowed, I think. I think I'm well within my rights to say that it's a bad movie and it's a waste of time and money.
I feel like it's that scene from Back to the Future where Marty's like, oh, I've seen this. What are you talking about? This is brand new.
It kind of is, yeah. All right, so hey, we have one last bit of news, and Cody, Josh, you might know more about this stuff than I do because it's gaming stuff, but I just like making fun of Todd Howard.
Everybody does.
Everybody does. But yeah, why don't you guys lead this one?
Okay. Microsoft bought Bethesda. Like, whole hog. They bought ZeniMax, the company that owns Bethesda. Bethesda, the game studio that makes your Fallouts, your Elder Scrolls, your Doom. Well, technically, id Software does Doom,
but they own them too.
Owns them, yeah.
Yeah.
Your Wolfenstein, your Dishonored.
This is a big move, right? This is no like small acquisition kind of deal.
Yeah, Bethesda is one of the largest third-party publishers, I think, in the business these days.
Yeah.
Now they're not a third party anymore. They are Microsoft's.
Yeah, and that's interesting. It makes me wonder, it makes me have about a million questions. Chief among them is, will Bethesda games go Microsoft exclusive after they get through all of their prior commitments?
I feel like they will. I think that makes the most sense for them. Because the Xbox does not have the same stable of exclusives that Sony does. Or Nintendo, for that matter, but nobody has the staple of exclusives Nintendo has.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, this is the linchpin that would give them footing in a console war, I guess.
Wow.
If that's how we're going to be.
Yeah.
it is a pretty big move.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. And granted, I don't play a lot of the Fallouts or whatever, but I know enough of them to know that they're broken, janky messes.
Well, the last one was.
The games have a certain level of polish that's not present, that is maybe present in other games of their ilk.
That's true.
But not unplayably so.
Not unplayably so, but there is a certain level of jank when you get into a Bethesda game. And a lot of that is because a lot of their code is very, very old. Their engine that they build their games off of is incredibly old. I heard the other day that there are bits and pieces of code that date back to the late 90s that they haven't changed. And
there's some hot Morrowind code down in there.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was something else. It was some game I've never heard of that I just... Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it might have been Daggerfall.
That's one older than Morrowind.
Yeah, yeah. But it's going to be interesting to see what their output is now that they have to polish things up to put that Microsoft stamp of approval on it. Will they finally be able to be allowed to go in and fix a lot of the game engine and fix a lot of the problems that I know a lot of the devs are aware of but have not been able to fix? Because as it turns out, and I did some reading on this, one of the heads of the board of directors at ZeniMax was always under the impression games are going to sell whether you fix it or not, so just crank them out. Because they've been it wasn't Todd Howard, but it was the other guy, I forget
Pete
what
Hines?
Pete Hines said in an interview that every time a new Fallout or a new Skyrim or new whatever Elder Scrolls came out, we would go to them and say, hey, can we have X amount of dollars to fix some of these problems? And the response was always, no, they're going to sell no matter what. People are going to buy them, so just ship it. Wow. And now there's people from Microsoft that are going to say, let's get this fixed.
Yeah. And they'll have, access to Microsoft resources. I'm sure they got some really great QA teams.
Oh, yeah.
In there. All that money it cost them $7.5 billion to buy Bethesda.
Yeah. Also, this means that technically the PS5 is going to have a launch title that is a Microsoft game.
Yeah. Yeah, Deathloop.
Deathloop.
Which looks very cool.
It looks very cool. I kind of... This would be petty on a whole other level, but I kind of hope at the very last second Microsoft changes the Deathloop dev team's name to Microsoft Games.
Yeah.
and make their logo eerily similar to the Xbox logo.
I mean,
and slap an Xbox logo when you first boot up your PS5. That would be great.
The Ori games have a Microsoft Game Studios logo on them on the Switch, I believe.
Yeah. Well, Microsoft and Nintendo are more likely to kind of play.
Yeah.
Play along. It's really PlayStation and Xbox that are the real competitors at this point.
They could go Coleco Donkey Kong with it.
Oh,
back in the day, Coleco had the exclusive rights to the Donkey Kong games, and they released them on other consoles, but they made the other consoles' versions purposely bad.
Oh, geez.
To make those consoles look bad in comparison to the Coleco version.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So they could just make a version of Deathloop that's purposely bad for the PlayStation 5.
This is what you get for having Spider-Man only in the PlayStation 4 version of Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still haven't gotten him yet. I've still been playing that. I still don't have Spider-Man.
Hmm.
I got to Black Widow for the first time, but that's not the right spider-themed character.
Did we ever talk about that? That they're making a Spider-Woman movie? That, who was...
Olivia Wilde?
Yeah, Olivia Wilde. That Olivia Wilde was tapped to direct a leading Marvel character, a female Marvel character, and it was heavily hinted that it was Spider-Woman.
I hope it's based on the cartoon. Where she has a jet helicopter and nobody knows her secret identity.
Yeah, that would be great. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and wrap things up since we are kind of at time. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can leave a message for us on the Nerd Overload hotline. Just dial 586-372-8020 and leave us a message. Don't chicken out. I saw somebody did call the hotline the other day. Didn't leave a message.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Don't be that guy.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Yeah. It's not that bad. We're not scary. We're award-winning. We're not scary.
Or you can just email us.
Oh, yeah. We can just email us, too. You can also find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So thank you again for tuning in this week, and we will be back next week.
Ikum bokum.